Of course, it's a praise this here on Robin Hood Radio. And Tim is there. Hey, Tim, can I ring up Greg at the same time, too?
Yes, you should be able to.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I didn't want to.
No. No, I appreciate it. I'm in Washington, D.C., and I know he's home, and I saw him texting. We were texting this morning, so he should be up.
All right. Well, let me see.
Maybe.
Let's see here. I'm trying to add him on here, but it's not letting me, but I'm going to try it anyways. Here we go. Let's try this one. Oh, let's see if I can add to the call. It's so funny. It doesn't show that to where I can add somebody to the call.
I was acting up today, too. Even when you called me the first time, it said it just dropped.
I'm looking through all the things to get to. Let's see here. That's not it. Got to be kidding me. Here we go. There we go. Now we're
cooking with gas.
Well, something like that. Something like that. All right, let's see if we can add him in here. I got the cowboy picture, so we should be okay.
Hey.
Greg, you there? Hey, Greg? He hasn't answered yet. It's ringing, though.
Good morning.
There he is.
There he is.
I've been sitting here looking at the screen and the clock, and I thought, is he running behind?
Oh yeah, I was running behind. This whole morning has been behind, so to speak. But it's good to be there, Greg. How's everything going?
Not bad, not bad. I've been up since at least an hour now, looking to get back to normal. So I think today is a good day. Today's a good day.
All right. Well, it's great to speak to you guys, and belated happy Thanksgiving and a first happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you guys.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
You know, there's an interesting article online, and you two can both quote on this. It's a little different than what we normally talk about. It's an article saying why art students should be required to attend online exhibitions. What's your feeling on that? Do you think that would benefit art students, both of you?
Well, I think maybe benefit might be the wrong word. I think it will help, but we've talked about this in the past. There's nothing like actually seeing a work to really form an opinion on it, and other than in person. I mean, if you're not able to get to the Metropolitan Museum of Art to see some of their collection or something that's going on, if you're not able to get there, the online version of going to the museum is fine. But you don't have to go to the Metropolitan Museum. You can go to your local museum. You can go to a museum that's in your area. There are so many wonderful museums around the country that there really should be no excuse for any art student not to get to a museum. And if you are an art student, I think you have you have an obligation to actually see as much art as possible. So I would say that's kind of a non-starter with me.
Yeah, well, I would add in that it's a cost savings, because online exhibitions, you don't have to travel. You can see a lot of these museums that have these online exhibitions to get exposure, familiarity with the images. But I think that's a great thing, and there's a lot of pluses to the online exhibition so that you can view these works of art. And they're really making a lot of advances in the way that you're able to experience the online exhibition. But I have to agree with Greg is that there is nothing like seeing something in person to really get a better sense of what it is that you're looking at. I'm in Washington, D.C. We're working on a big estate appraisal, and I'm here with my team, and one of our team members, Margaret, is our junior appraiser, and we were going through, and I was in one room, she was in the other, and she said, well, she looked at it, she's like, well, how can I tell? Is this a print? Is this a watercolor? What is this? And I pulled out the flashlight, and we're holding it in the light in a whole different way. And I was showing her, here, look at this. Look, do you see the way that this is done? This has the all the earmarks of being a print. It's just the way that the silkscreen was done, and the way that the printing process was completed. You can see how flat it is, and all the different things that we were looking at. So therein lies why it's important to see something in person to get a better sense of what it is that you're looking at, because a lot of the photographs that they're doing for these online exhibitions have been that they're so high resolution, beautiful, that's great, but you really can't see the depth and the brush, you know, the I guess there's the details that you really need to see. You can see close-ups of brushstrokes, but you're not going to see that if it's a print or a multiple, that it's just going to look very, very flat and very nice.
I think that the exhibition, the virtual exhibition, does have its place, though. I can say, for example, when the Van Gogh traveling Van Gogh exhibition started, it was intriguing to even read about it and to see snippets of it. But I will say that down here, when it came to Miami, there were a number of friends that had never seen anything quite like that. And it had it not been for that exhibition, they never would have actually decided to go see the collection, some of the collections at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, or they were going, one of them was going to be going to Europe, and they were the museums in Europe, they booked a trip to one of the museums, and it was primarily because of that exhibition. And I mean, they do have their place. I don't want to just categorically say it's hogwash at all. That's not the case. However, I still believe that it is imperative, if you live in an area that has a museum within 50 miles of you, I think you have an obligation to actually see great works of art in person, as opposed to just saying, oh, well, I'm just going to go online and look at it. Otherwise, you're looking at like a postcard. You're looking at something you can buy in a museum gift shop.
Well, you know, I know when I was getting started in radio, I visited as many of the top radio stars as I could through the help with my father, and I went and visited Dan Ingram. I went and visited major studios just simply to have that in my mindset and what I wanted to shoot for. I had something now to compare where I wanted to be with in 10, 15, 20 years. So I think when you're young, it's great to expose yourself to that anyway, just for that reason.
Yes, I totally agree. Whether it's art or whether it's architecture, whether it's anything that we see and consider to be art, I think we as a civilization have an obligation to take advantage of those things. I mean, what otherwise? What's the point of, you know, an artist doesn't paint in a vacuum. They do this because of their love of the art, and the creative process, but they're doing it for people to enjoy. So there's no point in just saying, oh, well, you know, I'll just look at this virtual exhibition and call it a day. I that might sound simplified, but I do believe that there are people who do that, and I think it's a mistake.
All right. Our next story is just an amazing story, and it deals with Broadway. I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but at the Winter Garden Theater, they were at the end of the performance of Music Man, they were trying to raise money for an AIDS fund, okay? And so they were auctioning off a Hugh Jackman's hat that he wore. And they had about 10 or 15 people bid. They got it up to $19,000. And at that point, they said, anybody want to top that? Well, Nicole Kidman donated $100,000. $100,000. And it was just great to see that and to see how smart it was to use the show like that with a star like Hugh Jackman to raise money. I just thought it's a feel-good story. And I just thought you can see the clip online if you Music Man $100,000 offer. It's really amazing to see it happen.
Yeah, that's terrific. That is absolutely terrific. It's hard to believe that after at the beginning of the whole AIDS epidemic. When they started on Broadway doing Broadway Cares. It's hard to believe how many years that's been, and how much money they've raised. And well, what can you say? I mean, it's just an amazing sign of support, even to this day, for AIDS research, for trying to rid the face of the earth of this pestilence, and it's not going to go away, so we still have to fight the good fight. And this is, I think, this shows that it's still a valid cause to be fought for.
All right,
and to support.
Yeah, that's, and also it's
good for her.
It was a great way for the show and for her to bring AIDS back out into the front line again in spotlight,
yes.
And that will spark other people on to raise people that have money and people in show business to start pitching back in again. I really believe, you know.
And definitely. I think also, you know, Marshall, I think also it also triggers. People who might not have $100,000 to support a cause like this. You don't need to spend a fortune to
make a difference. Yeah, well, I agree.
We were talking a while ago about that auction of Columbian artifacts. Remember, they didn't want them to auction it off in Paris.
Right.
Flop. Total flop. they didn't even reach 50% of what they thought. The 50% of their pre-sale expectations, just a total flop. I'm glad to see that. You know, people in the art world just said, you know what? We're not dealing with this.
Right. That is something that you don't want to have happen when you're putting an auction together, because everybody just does not turn out. So, that's it's one of those things that it's good to see what happens when there's a cause, when people get behind it, and this is what happens.
All right. And Sotheby's, this is great. They've got an auction, over 100 historic Nike relics, not just Michael Jordan, over 100 that celebrate 50 years. And if you look at the story, you see some of the amazing sneakers that are in there, like a pair of Air Force One sneakers by Louis Vuitton. They're leading the they're leading the sale at I don't know what, but I just this is a very unique sale, and I think it's interesting. And I'm just looking at the article, and I'm seeing some of the sneakers that are being put up there. It's amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yes,
and now they don't even look like they've ever been worn.
Yeah,
but I guess. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming that a lot of these sneakers that we see that come up to auction, they've only been used for maybe they wear them maybe once or maybe twice before they change their shoes. I don't know how that works, but it seems like every pair that you see, it's not like the old days when you'd see a pair of football cleats or baseball cleats that belonged to some famous baseball player or football player, and they look like they've gone through the war. Now, when you look at these, what's up for auction, they don't even have any wear on them. So,
that's
a lot of shoes.
Sotheby's has also really led the entire entire market for sneakers, trainers, whatever you want to call them. Is that they jumped out there, had some success with some very high profile shoes. And now with this relic of all these wonderful things that are coming out, it's fascinating that these shoes have generated such a market and such a I guess iconic status. I just signed up for a conference for an appraiser conference, and one of the topics is the gentleman from Sotheby's. Who's going to be talking about untying the tennis shoe market, something like that. I don't remember the title, but it's going and talking about that, which I'm fascinated by what draws people. I mean, not only to the shoes, but then also the value. What is driving the market? And that's going to be I'm fascinated to. To go to this conference in March.
You know what?
I think it's interesting. I think if you look back, let's go back to this to the 60s, when you know you would see shoes or cleats or sporting shoes that are like 30, 40, 50 years old that belong to famous athletes. Those shoes were not produced to make money as an object to be collected, whereas today I believe that Nike and some of the other Nike being the biggest, they have that in the back of their mind when they are designing a new shoe. What athlete is going to actually make this our biggest seller yet? And I believe that there's something in that that mentality that makes a shoe collectible today as opposed to what it did 50 years ago.
Right.
You know what I like about this auction, though, is that Sotheby's has spread it out, and they have a lot of stuff there that are for people that have not – they don't have to be the big-priced people. There's a Nike and Seinfeld bag, a nylon bag. That's going to go from $800 to $1,200, and they've stocked it with a whole range of things that are anywhere from $300 to like $1,000 for people that want to get a taste of what it's like to get in on something like this.
Yeah, well, you know, we've talked about that in the past about people at auction wanting the average person being able to be a part of something like this. And that's a great way to do it. I mean, it's not just the $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 shoes that people can buy now at auction. You can be a part of that history without spending that amount of money. So I think that's a good thing. That's smart marketing to me.
Yeah, it also gives people a chance to get into it and see what it's like.
Mm-hmm. My point exactly. Thanks, Marshall. That's where I was going to go, is that you also have to keep things accessible for people to join in and to then grow, because maybe you can only afford something in the $300 to $500 or $500 to $700 range. Great. Then you trade up and you start collecting other things. And the other interesting thing in this sale is that there are a number of the items are being sold without any reserve. So that's also great.
Yeah, I just thought we're just full of damn good news this morning.
Yes.
Well, I hope you guys enjoy Thanksgiving, and I want you to heal as quickly as you can, Greg, so you can enjoy Christmas.
Thank you, Marshall. I'm actually doing really, really well. I have I'm actually going to be able to drive starting next week. And I'm actually going to be able to physically go to the gym starting next week, so I can get back to my full potential.
So you actually want to get out there on the roads in Florida and possibly ruin your hip again by having someone crash into you?
Well, you know, I never. Gee, thanks for brightening my day.
Guys, I want you guys to have a great week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Hey, you okay, too, buddy. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. Tim, Luke, and Greg Straub, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise. This, you're on Robinhood Radio. Just in case you didn't know, Greg had his hip replaced, and he's doing fine.